Thanks, B. Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful Sunday morning we're already enjoying and we're underway with. So today we are talking about gifts. We're not talking about gifts because it's Mother's Day, but for a different reason. But just to be fun, I have an opening question, and my opening question is, think of a gift that you've received that you didn't love. I know that's like a risky question on Mother's Day, especially if you're sitting next to your kids, but I'm not going to poll the room, but the chances are it was something material. Perhaps the giver gave it to you with such intentionality and thought and care, but the reality is it bombed. So for my 20th birthday, I had just moved off campus to my own apartment. I was so excited. My mom and dad came. It was my birthday, and they gave me a yogurt maker. Not like an ice cream maker, not anything fun, like a yogurt maker. My parents are kind of crunchy, and instead of going to the store, they just make their own yogurt. I never enjoyed the taste of it. I never ate it, but they would visit, and I didn't have like a dining table or chairs. I just had cushions on the floor. And so I think they walked in and thought, I know what this house needs, a yogurt maker. So hi, Mom and Dad. They're watching online, Australia time. Happy Mother's Day. Hear me say this, gifts aren't bad. They're often great. In fact, for so many of us, they are a love language, a way to display love and also receive love. But gifts as we understand them, gifts of the world, they have a lot of variability, and they are very different from the way that the Bible teaches on gifts. Gifts from the world, like we just talked about, they're often material. They're things that are given to us by others, where someone gets to decide what the gift is. And these kinds of gifts, they do not compare to the power, the value, and the worth of a different type of gift. And that's the gift we're going to talk about this morning, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to us by God. So we're in this series called Empowered, and every week we're learning about what happens when the Spirit takes hold of our life. And so the Spirit empowers us uniquely through spiritual gifts. Wayne Grudem frames spiritual gifts as any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. I really like this definition. It's kind of broad. We've heard messages about some of these gifts already, like healing and prophecy, in our current series. And spiritual gifts, they enable us to be a witness of God's love and goodness as we serve others inside and outside the church walls. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the type of gift that grabs my attention. It's the gift that the Spirit gives, gifts that are invitational. God's way of reaching out, equipping us, and inviting us to partner with the Spirit to do miraculous deeds and service in His name. These are the special types of gifts that we should greatly desire rather than the gifts that the world provides. So if you've been with us for a while, you'll hear quite frequently that we talk about wanting to become people who are becoming more wise to the ways of the world. People that reject materialism, that reject consumption, that don't want to live into a mindset of more, more, more. We're people that are learning to resist earthly trappings. We want to be generous with our resources and live a more sacrificial life. For many of us, you're here this morning because you've seen what the world has to offer and you believe that there is a better way to live. And that is by subscribing to a kingdom way of life. And part of that means that we should eagerly desire the gifts of the kingdom, spiritual gifts. Here's a hallmark of living in the kingdom. We understand the truth that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And we hear that beautiful exhortation from James 1:17. And some of these good and perfect gifts, they come to us in the form of spiritual gifts, gifts that aren't neatly wrapped up. Rather, gifts that are divine, gifts that last, gifts that stand the test of time. So what exactly are these gifts? I know you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're waiting to see what's available. Well, there's many of them, and the Bible has a lot to say, particularly through the writings of the Apostle Paul. So when writing to encourage the church in Corinth and call for its unity, Paul spends time listing out spiritual gifts and then goes on to say just how essential they are to strengthen the church for the common good. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to pick up in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So there's a lot in there. There's a lot of repetition of the word another. You probably picked that up. But each gift is purposed for the common good of God's family. And who is God's family? It's the church, right? It's all of us. Now, what I love about the scripture that we just read is, did you notice that not one single gift in that list is self-serving? There is not one gift that is designed for us to treasure and store up and use for oneself. Now, that's so different from the way that the world understands gifts. Every single one of these gifts is designed to be shared and used to strengthen the body of Christ. And this isn't just theoretical, or it's not something that we try on and we explore sometimes. The DNA of the Evanston Vineyard and the vineyard movement at large is heavily informed and wired by the naturally supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This is why we talk so frequently about the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit. It's why we do ministry time and trainings and we pray for healing. We treat these gifts like part of the ordinary everyday. And that's because they are. When spiritual gifts are relegated to the spectacular or thought of as something that you can just like flick on and flick off like a switch, then they are sorely misunderstood. Whereas when these gifts are used just as God intended, the most beautiful things can happen. Lives are changed and the church is strengthened. When writing to the Romans, Paul similarly encourages them to identify and use their spiritual gifts for the good of the church. Here's some of what he says. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here we discover these gifts of prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and being merciful. Now, it's important to note that this list of gifts, it's not exhaustive. In fact, there are other gifts like hospitality, administration, worship, that are similarly important and critical to the life of the church. What we can say is that any empowerment that is given by the Spirit can be received and viewed as a spiritual gift. I believe there is a gift of stewardship, a Spirit-given fire that rests in the hearts of believers to care for God's good creation and the natural environment. And let us not forget the gift of intercession, being empowered to pray for the needs of others, the known needs and the unknown needs. And if you're weighing what that looks like, you might have someone in your life that out of nowhere calls you, texts you, emails you, comes up to you and says, "Hey, I was praying for you this week." It's very, very likely they have the gift of intercession. They may know how to pray for you, or they may have had no idea that you were so sorely in need of prayer. It's very important to note that all gifts are essential to the full flourishing and health of the body of Christ. Now, how does Paul describe the body? Well, he uses the analogy of a human body, where individual parts are framed as spiritual gifts. He builds the following argument. As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, it is just the opposite. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. I'm going to read that last verse. I'm going to change it a little bit. Evanston Vineyard, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. And so it is with the church. We have this understanding that the church can become weakened and it can become ineffective if all spiritual gifts are not realized, celebrated, and recognized. You may have seen or been part of churches that will say something like, "Hey, we allow evangelism, teaching, service, acts of helping, but we don't believe in tongues, prophecy, healing, or words of knowledge." Now, conversely, there are other churches where there can be too heavy of an emphasis on supernatural signs and wonders to the neglect of teaching, discipling, and providing pastoral care. And we would say that when this happens, the church is not as strong as it could be. And that's because all spiritual gifts are designed to be used together by various people in the body of Christ to strengthen and build God's church. So I think at this point we can say that we've got some of the groundwork established on spiritual gifts. But what do they look like in practice? What does it mean when they are activated by the Spirit and used? So there's a beautiful example in the scriptures that I'd like to turn to now. So we're in Acts 8, and this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And often this scripture, this story, is used in teachings about salvation and baptism. But today, I'd like us to think of it through a lens of spiritual gifts. So here's the story. I'm going to paraphrase it. Philip is walking along. He hears a directive from the Spirit to go up to a man, Ethiopian eunuch, an official, who was reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip is prompted to ask the man, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And the man says, "Well, no, how can I, unless someone takes the time to explain it?" Well, then Philip proceeds to do the following. He sits with him. He explains the message about the passage of Scripture. He baptizes him. And then Philip is taken away by the Spirit to continue preaching the gospel in surrounding towns. So in this brief story, we see multiple gifts at work. Let's walk through them. Philip hears prophetically from the Spirit. He follows the prompting from God to go up to this man. When he's there, he then proceeds to teach him about the scriptures. And then he goes on, baptizes him, but then he goes on to share the good news to others by evangelizing in neighboring areas. Now, this is just one example of what happens when we operate in our gifts. We see true transformation can occur in the lives of others, which ultimately strengthens the body of Christ. So we've kind of established that like one of the central roles and purposes of spiritual gifts is to build the body, but we can also use our gifts in a different way, and that is to draw attention to the goodness and the majesty and to ignite curiosity in people who don't know God, who don't know Jesus. And here's an example straight from the Gospel of Luke of what happens when a gift is exercised. I love this story because you can picture an 8-year-old Jess in rural Australia that knew nothing about the Bible. And on Fridays, the Catholic kids would go to the cafeteria and the Church of England kids would go to the library. And I didn't know which one I was, so I just went to the library. And we had a farmer come in who was a Christian, and he would just tell us stories about the Bible. And I actually remember him sharing this story. It's in Luke 5, verse 25. It's about when there's four men, they have their friend who can't walk, and they want to take him to meet Jesus. They get there, there's such a big crowd, they can't make their way to Jesus. They try to think, how are we going to do this? So they use some ingenuity, they open the roof up, they drop him down. So I remember being this little 8-year-old kid being like, wondering how that would happen. And so what happens? Well, Jesus sees him. He says, your sins are forgiven. He's healed. And in that moment, we see the spiritual gift of healing in full operation. But here's where I want us to focus. What happens after that healing? The text says, immediately he, the formerly paralyzed man, he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been lying on and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and they said, we have seen remarkable things today. When I read this, I think, well, what would happen if we were all out in Evanston, we were in Chicago, we were in our communities, and we were exercising and operating in our spiritual gifting? What would it look like for our neighbors and the people around us to be drawn upward towards God? Can you picture people in our communities being filled with awe and then going home and saying to their families around the dinner table, hey, I saw something remarkable today. Here's what I saw. Like I said, this can only happen when our giftings are activated and employed. So allow me to pause here and flag this. The timing of this message, it might feel odd. I think it feels odd, right? And here's why. We're almost halfway through our series on the Empowered series, on the person, the presence, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And what I've done this morning is kind of just lay some groundwork on the ways that we can embody the Spirit and the good gifts that we can receive. In some ways, it feels like a foundational message, like an opening message, but I actually do like the timing of it now, and here's why. I've been wondering that if for some of you, over the past few weeks, you've been sitting in service and you've been hearing these messages on healing and prophecy and ministering out of God's love, and there's part of you that's been thinking, I don't know that this is for me. In fact, I don't feel excited or intrigued or curious to learn about these gifts. Actually, it feels kind of bewildering. It feels kind of painful. You might be thinking, these gifts aren't for me. They're probably for the person next to me or that person across the road that really looks like they know what's going on. Perhaps you heard Jared's beautiful message on love and you wondered, well, can I really be a carrier and messenger of this love to the world? And not just in church, but in many other settings. Many of us ask questions like, well, why are others gifted? Why do I feel lacking? Or I really want to teach, I want to evangelize, I want to lead, but I don't feel chosen. And I think part of this comes from living in a world that prioritizes and elevates this idea of being exceptional, where we get noticed and we get rewarded by others for our giftings. You think about in schools, we have like talented and gifted programs, and we have MVPs, the most valuable player on a sports team, and there's always like rankings and bonuses at work. We live in a world where there's constant comparisons, and we can become totally dependent and fixated on the gifts and the labels that others in the world assign to us. Now, if I took a poll of this room, I'm sure we all have examples of times where we've felt disqualified, we've felt overlooked, or weighed down by the labels that others have given us. When I was a teenager, I was pretty naughty. I'm waiting for what? The shock. What? I was pretty naughty. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'm still so sorry. I wasn't always naughty. As a young child, I had a really strong aptitude for school. I loved learning. Learning came really easy to me. And this title or this label of gifted was attached to me. During Get Impressed, there was like 10 kids in my class, right? So half of us were gifted. but I did a lot of accelerated learning, and I would sit in a lot of those classes and I would think, well, what's the point? And as I got older, I started becoming really aware of some of the problems in the world. I would read the newspapers, I'd watch global TV, I would learn about genocides in far-off countries, and then I would come back to like some complicated math that I had no interest in. And so by the time I was in my mid-teens, I stopped going to class. I think maybe I would go for like a few minutes and then make an excuse and leave. I just couldn't be in an environment that was teaching me things that I thought were so irrelevant when there was really big things happening in the world and I just desperately wanted to get out there and make a difference. The turning point came in 2003, 20 years ago, I was in grade 10, and I had this teacher say to me in a moment of frustration, and probably very well deserved, had a teacher say, if you keep going the way that you're going, your life will amount to nothing. And it was incredibly painful, still painful to think about. But there was a glimmer in me that knew that those words that he said, there was some truth in that. And it was painful to hear. What I wish I had more than anything at that time in my life, I wish I had someone, particularly someone of faith, that could have pulled me aside and said to me, hey, the way that you see the world and the things that grieve you, that's because you have this thing called a gift of mercy. That's how like you're wired. You're wired to feel things really deeply. So thankfully, I got back on track. I went to school and I did a degree in just that thing. But the reason I share this story is that one of the beautiful things about spiritual gifts is that many times the Spirit forms us and shapes us and empowers qualities that we already have in us. And he does that so we can further the kingdom. I think what he did in my life was he took these leanings toward mercy and compassion and transformed them into a spiritual gift. He made my heart break for the things that his heart breaks for. And so I now no longer rage against the inequalities of the world in the same way. Instead, I understand that it actually grieves the Lord's heart so much more. And now there's an invitation to partner with the Spirit to bring healing and hope to where others have been hurt. I want to share a word with you that we just received before the message that really ties into what I've written. One of our prayer members said, I had a picture of a scene at the end of Dr. Seuss, The Grinch, where the narrator said, its heart grew 10 sizes that day. For whoever wants it, I feel there is an invitation from God to give us his heart today, to grow the size of our heart and give us his love for others. Amen. It's a powerful word. You see, when we allow the Spirit to work in our life, the wonderful thing is everybody has gifts that are activated and we all get to play a role in bringing the kingdom. Like our famous saying in the vineyard, everyone gets to play. You might think of early church meetings happening in homes with 20 to 30 people. In that smaller context, Paul says that everybody has something to contribute when it comes to spiritual gifts. And this is true today in all churches, regardless of size. So rather than feeling perplexed and wondering how these gifts are made available or handed out or whether you're even worthy or qualified, let me make this clear. When the Spirit of the living God dwells in us, spiritual gifts are made available. Amen. God is sovereign and he gives gifts to whoever he pleases. In fact, he is so very pleased to give you a gift. You all have gifts. Gifts come to you when you are saved. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. This is why when you go to church, you might have been asked to take a spiritual gifts discovery course. The theological assumption is that you've got a gift or gifts, you just need to discover them. Even more than that, in the kingdom, we can ask for gifts more than the ones that we've already received. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us that we should eagerly desire prophecy. He is a generous God who won't hold anything back that is good from his children. If there is a gift, you might start with a prayer. An example could be, Lord, equip me with boldness and authority and courage to go out and evangelize and to share the good news with others. So I want you to leave here today remembering that spiritual gifts are not given to us based on merit. You don't get them for a job well done. You can't earn them. We don't give our kids Christmas gifts because they earned them. We give them gifts because we love them. And this is what the Bible teaches us about God. God gives good gifts to his children. As we prepare to close, can I leave you with this thought? There is so much about the Christian life that we can never understand until we experience it. Until we step out, we take a risk, and we try things on. And this is so true for spiritual gifts. If we spend all of our time trying to analyze them and understand every facet of them and intellectualize them, then we miss the beauty of them. We diminish their power. Rather than being up on a shelf like a trophy, spiritual gifts, we need to pull them down. They need to be right in front of us. Our eyes need to be on them. We need to be able to access them and use them in the everyday. And this only happens through practice. You won't know if you have the gift of healing if you aren't out there praying for people. Gifts of mercy and service, they aren't activated when we're in our comfort zone. We need to be out there bumping up against people and environments that are different from ours. Similarly, it's hard to discern if you're a leader until you intentionally take a risk to step into a new setting and try out your voice. Got another word today. Here's the word. Someone is in the midst of following and serving God, but you are feeling stuck. You're not making progress. You're having a hard time moving forward. But Jesus is calling you out of the boat to trust him, to do the impossible, to walk on water. I think that sounds very, very much like what we just talked about. If we try to analyze these gifts without ever experiencing them, we have cheapened our walk. Right now, to close, I would like to invite my dear, dear friend, Dick Ryan, to the stage. And he's going to share a little bit about us with us. As a reminder, in the Vineyard, we affirm all gifts that the Spirit gives, and we believe that every follower of Jesus is called to use their spiritual gifts. But we also know that figuring out your gifts and knowing where to start, it can feel challenging, right? Okay, take it away.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mom's Day. As you've heard Jess speak in this really beautiful talk, spiritual gifts are really important. If I ask you right now, can you name your spiritual gifts? What would you say? Some of you will say, oh, I've got it nailed. Wonderful. Others will say, I'm not sure. But this business of spiritual gifts really it calls us to go more deeply into the subject. And so we're offering you a couple opportunities for that. One is, simply after today's service, stop in the small auditorium, which is out the door and to your right, and for just 15 minutes or so, we'll explore a little more deeply what you can do to find out what your specific individual gifts are from God. It'll be fun, very relaxed. You can also come this coming Thursday, that's the 18th, or the 25th. The Thursday after that, the next two Thursday nights, to that same small auditorium, and we'll have a dinner discussion about spiritual gifts and go much more deeply into how do we know specifically what are the gifts that God has given to us? How can God's power come into our lives so that when at the end of the service it's said, go out and be the church, we can have God's power in the midst of our desires to make this world a better place? So if you do want to come on the Thursday nights, it'll be very relaxed. They're dinner discussions. Yes, dinner first, no cost for the dinner. We'll start at 6:30, but we'll need to know that you're coming so we'll know how much food to get. So you can sign up online on the website.
Yeah, or the QR code on the screen, or you can fill out a Connect card.
Good. At the end of this time, Jess asked me to say a blessing, and I'd be glad to do that. At the end of the service, of course, there'll be prayer opportunities over in the corner here. But I'd like to say a special blessing for moms, for all of us who have been blessed by God's spiritual gift of working through moms in our lives. And not just our biological moms, like Brian's led us in discussion earlier or in prayer earlier. It's also spiritual moms. I see Tish sitting here, spiritual mom to many people, or actually Jess, young person, already functioning as a spiritual mom for many people. Sometimes it's a big sister, sometimes it's a grandma, sometimes it's just a good friend. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to all of us to be embraced once again by the spirit of love and acceptance and belonging that comes through the moms that you've placed in our lives. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we bless that process. Fill us with your power, Lord, and especially we bless the moms that you've surrounded us with. Amen.
Amen.
And so we say together, go out.
Let's do it together.
Do it together.
One, two, three. Go out and be the church.